TSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Friday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. As we get together, as we wrap up this week, looking forward to being with you for about the next hour as we have live radio here. You can call in with a question. If you have a question about the Bible, last days, what you hear in church, hey, give us a call. We'll do our very best to answer that for you because, again, you know, it's so important that we know truly what God's Word says. You know, oftentimes you'll find people with a vendetta. You'll find people with a bend on particular scripture, and so they try to fit other verses to fit their theology. And unfortunately, many times those verses correct their bad theology, and so they want to disregard it or just act like it doesn't exist. Well, you know, if we're going to be really Bereans, if we're really going to be people that study God's Word, we want to know what the entirety of God's Word says on a particular topic. And so, again, I believe that's why in the days that we live in, it's so important to know the entirety of God's Word. So, again, if you've got a question you'd like to ask us, that number to call again, 888-ASK-CSN's the number to call. We got some lines open, so you're assured to get on if you call right now. Now, today's a special day. We have with us Brad Dacus from the Dacus Report, who is president of PJI, Pacific Justice Institute, representing people like you and me, Christian organizations and others, from unfair laws and practices. You know, there are many things that aren't fair that we see go on. How is an example in the pandemic? The casinos in Nevada were shut down. The casinos in Nevada were allowed to remain open where the churches had to be shut down. These are the kind of things that obviously we see is a conflict of interest, yet many people just roll under because they don't know what to do. Well, that's one of the advantages that we have with Pacific Justice Institute, and Brad, is that he brings that defense that we all need when we've been treated unfairly. And so Brad will be along with us momentarily. He's a very, very busy guy, and he tears himself away from many, many court cases and clients to come and just share his wisdom on these legal matters that I think we all need in these days. You know, a lot of people say, well, we just want to be about the Bible. I agree, and I couldn't agree more. But you know, when you really look in the Bible, and you look especially as an example in the Old Testament, we find Ahab, Jezebel, coming against Elijah because Elijah condemned the way they were running the country. They were idolaters. They were misleading the people of Israel into a way of God's judgment. And so Elijah stood up to them. Same way it was with Isaiah. Same way it was with Jeremiah. In fact, when you really look at it, almost all the Old Testament people had a problem with governance. Whether it was Moses standing before Pharaoh saying, let my people go. And Pharaoh was a hard taskmaster. We remember he was very mean to the children of Israel as well. And Moses said, what you're doing is not right. Let my people go, God said. And so we find then that eventually the children of Israel were let go. We have to understand this idea that, well, Christians or people who believe in God shouldn't be involved in any way, shape, or form with politics. Well, you know, what's really a tragedy there is they haven't really been reading their Bible, because if they had been, they would realize that people who love God have always had a voice concerning government. And so this is one of the things that we want to do, is we want to stand up for what's right. And so, Brad, I'm so glad you're with us today, and thank you for taking time out of your extremely busy schedule to be with us. Hi and welcome.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
And again, if you have issues, Brad, how does a person contact you when there has been an unfairness?
Yeah, it's easy. They just go to our website, pji.org, and they just put request for help, and that's the best way to contact us. pji.org. Also, if people like to just get registered with us to get our updates, our case updates, they can also do that in a really easy way, and that's simply by texting the number texting PJI to the number 71541. That's texting the letters PJI for Pacific Justice Institute to the number 71541, 71541. That's another way of making contact with us.
So I hope that that would be an encouragement to all of you. There is help out there. You don't have to go it alone. Well, we're going to go ahead and go to the phones. We have Laura on the line, Fort Worth, Texas. Hi, and welcome.
Hi, how are you doing? Thank you so much for having me on.
How may we help?
Okay, I've been hearing just out of nowhere, and it's just really baffles me because it's actually coming from Christians, for people who say that claim the name of Christ, and they have this theology that according to them, God is going to save everybody and that there is no hell. I've even heard another one say that hell was remedial. And I'm just like, whoa, wait a minute. Where is this coming from? And
I can tell you where it's coming from. It's coming from hell. But that's another whole topic.
But I'm just like, how is it that we, because obviously that's one thing that even a lot of unbelievers, they already scoff at or mock at or just absolutely don't believe in it. So, but even coming from Christians, quote unquote, because it's obvious that it's like, wait, are we even believe in the same gospel? Do we have the same God? Because it doesn't seem like it.
No, and that's one of the great problems. And it's curious that Jesus spoke 11 times about hell in the gospels, spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. Because it is a real eternal place. Now, the idea of annihilation or hell isn't real or it's remedial. In other words, once you've done your penance, you've done your time, then you get let out like a county jail. Let me just read you what the Bible says. Now, I know the Bible isn't much of an authority anymore in the church or in Christians' lives, but, it's supposed to be. In fact, it's the pivotal anvil for all of our lives. Now, let me just read it what it says in the book of Jude. And here's what it says. And Sodom and Gomorrah, which, by the way, are cities of people, and the cities around them, similar matter of these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as examples, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Eternal fire. Not a flash in the pan, not remedial, eternal fire. Now, again, this idea that, well, everybody's going to be saved in the end, that is completely, completely a lie. And the Bible says if you die in your sins, you will go to hell. And then we get even into more when you get into the book of Revelation, you find that those that take the mark of the beast, they're separated from God forever, even while yet living. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with what you said. We have to go back to the word. You know, it's easy for people to say, hey, this is the religion. This is what I want to believe, but that's man-made. One evidence of truth is that it's probably not, what you want it to be. Because when you're talking about God, you know, people say, well, he's all loving. So let's have everyone just, you know, all go to heaven and maybe do a little penance, but the reality is a big part of God's character is not only his love, but his righteousness. And that's why Christ had to die on the cross. And if we say, well, people will all go to heaven, well, then why did Jesus die on the cross? Why did God sacrifice so much through his son Jesus to die on the cross? So we have to ask, what is the truth? And let's deal with the truth. And people who come up with those things, maybe it can feel good, but that doesn't mean it's true. And unfortunately, the absence of truth can be fatal, eternally fatal, especially when it comes to this issue.
Yeah, Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, just as another pivotal verse here, it says, anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. doesn't say that they'll be let out eventually. This is all made up. And so this idea that in the end, everybody will be saved, again, is one of those lies that I think the underworld promotes with everything they can. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die in the book of Hebrews 9. After that, the judgment. There's no reincarnation episode. There's no purgatory. There's no baptism for the dead. There's no, once you've lived your life, you've died, you are sealed in the condition that you are in. And so I hope that helps.
It really does. Thank you. Because, yeah, I was just like, wait a minute. So then where do these people that even God tells them that to depart from him, where, according to you, where are they?
Yeah, where do they go?
So, and that was something that I was just like, wait a minute. There's so many things even coming from the mouth of Christians that I'm just like, whoa, hold on. And it kind of confuses me because it made me really go back and even understand. It's like, where are we missing the mark? Like, what tangent did we just pick and go on? So, and that was unbelievable. But yes, thank you.
Well, unfortunately, as you know, Laura, so many Christians even do not know what they believe. They've been misled. They go to Dr. Feelgood churches where they really don't teach the Bible. It's just, you know, slip Jesus in your pocket and climb to the top, get your spiritual placebo and keep bumping along. Well, the problem is that is not what the gospel says. The Bible clearly says that we live on the entirety of God's word. Jesus said we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And unfortunately today people live by every word that proceeds from the internet. And I don't think I've ever seen doctrine so skewed, so messed up is what you see on the internet. Oh, we're in the tribulation now because of the eclipse last week. You know, people are just willing to believe anything. Well, we're in the tribulation now because of COVID. No, if you read the Bible, you would know that that is not what starts the tribulation. In the book of Daniel, chapter 9, what starts the tribulation period is a treaty that the Antichrist signs with Israel. Very clearly, and he shall make a covenant for 1 week. Now, anytime you find a week there in Daniel 9, it's speaking of a 7-year period of time. But no, they've got, you know, well, there was a star constellation and this one star was inside of this other constellation. So now we're in the tribulation period and that's the fifth sign, the fifth seal. No, absolutely not. Wrong, wrong, wrong. The book of Revelation, written in order to help us know what's coming next. The church is never found on this earth again after chapter 3. It's always found in heaven. Now, you find the saints who get saved during the tribulation. You find the elect, God's appointed his 144,000 and all. But you don't find the church. Very, very important. Because we find the church mentioned so many times in the first couple of chapters of Revelation and then never again. So again, this is one of the problems, Laura, that not only concerning the end of the age, the time of the Antichrist, all these things that are coming upon the world, but then to say hell is not an eternal place. It's a beautiful place. It's not even real. It's a fig Newton of your imperial margarine. It doesn't really exist. All of these, I believe, are perpetrated by the underworld. Brad, any last thoughts on this? Because I think it's so important because people, we find, are believing so many non-biblical things because they don't take the Bible precept upon precept, line upon line. They go hopscotching through the Bible like popcorn, picking verses and choosing verses, taking fragments of verses and building theologies.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. It's important that we understand what the Word of God says, because that's the foundation of our faith. And it's a reliable foundation because 2/3 of the prophecy of Scripture has already been fulfilled. We have a solid foundation. But when people just veer off a little bit, like, for example, believing that as was asked, is everyone going to heaven? Well, if people think that, that just truncates our motivation to share the good news and the gospel if everyone's automatically going to heaven. So doctrinal error is not only dangerous for individuals and their own understanding of the breadth and depth of God's love and forgiveness through faith in Christ and as applied to themselves, but also as applied to their whole worldview and what they're living for and whether or not they'll even share the gospel to a world that's desperately in need of knowing Jesus.
So I hope that answers it for you.
It really did. Thank you. And if I may, just one more thing.
Yes.
Okay, so this was actually sometime last week. There was a caller who had asked about Jesus when he rose. The napkin that was used to wrap his face, he had asked, kind of essentially any meaning behind it being folded in the tomb.
Yes.
Concept that I've heard. Maybe, I don't know, y'all can really look further into it, but I found it kind of fascinating. Essentially, it kind of referenced back to when a servant, when a master was sitting down at the table and he was eating, and the napkin that he would use to clean himself, if the master would have to get up and go somewhere else and he wasn't done eating, he would fold his napkin. And so the servant would know that he's going to come back and he's not done, so he wouldn't pick up his plate. So the master, the napkin symbolized him being folded means that the servant's master was going to return, kind of foreshadowing, Jesus, he folded the napkins, kind of saying that he was going to come back. So I found that really interesting because, I found it really neat. So I wanted to share that.
Well, that's neat, Laura. Yeah, and we find things like that. I think Jesus said this. He said, "Search the Scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life, but they are which testify of me." And I believe, again, when we see Elijah goes through the city of Jerusalem carrying a water pot, for a man to be carrying a water pot, first of all, is very unusual. He goes outside the city walls. Meanwhile, a crowd is following because, again, somebody carrying a water pot. He takes the water pot outside the city walls of Jerusalem, throws it down and says, "This is what God thinks of your sin." Well, it's interesting. Jesus made an earthen vessel, paraded through the streets of Jerusalem, taken outside the city walls of Jerusalem, and then crucified. This is what God thought of our sin. So all the way through the Bible, you'll see those picture types of who Jesus is. And I believe even in the New Testament as well, we continue to discover the great, vast riches of God's Word. Laura, stay on the line, send you out some books, some DVDs I think you'll enjoy. And with that, we'll go to Lindsay, Salt Lake City.
Hi, gentlemen. I had a couple questions. They're actually tied together really closely. They have to do with the six virgins, the three that fell asleep while they were waiting for the bridegroom, and the three that were awake. And I wanted to know, first of all, why did the three get tossed out, and why did the three get to go back? And then my other question, I wanted scriptures to support whether or not the scripture is true, whether or not it is true that there is once saved, always saved, because the pastor of the church that I go to teaches that theory. And I, in my heart, I just, something's telling me no, nope, nope.
Well, Jesus, just go for your scriptural reference, go to Matthew chapter 24, because there, Jesus, starting in verse 45, and just about six, seven verses, eight verses there at the very end of the chapter, talks about a guy that says in his heart, "My Lord delays his coming. He eats and drinks with the drunken. He beats his fellow man." The Bible says then the Lord of that servant will come when he's not expecting him, as, and I've shared this many times, probably because he's drunk. and give him his portion with the hypocrites, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. To say, oh, he still went to heaven, he just didn't get his rewards. That's not the Bible I've ever read. Where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, friends, that is hell. And I believe this is a real problem when we look at this, and any attempt to try to place the hypocrites in heaven where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, I don't believe they know the Bible. So I think we need to take our relationship with God seriously. Now, someone asked me a question. Do you believe in eternal security? Absolutely, I believe that. Do you believe in once saved, always saved? Well, I do, believing that if you want to be saved, again, as it says in the book of Jude, the last two verses, now who's able to keep you from falling? See, God is able to keep us from falling. But the context of that verse, the rest of the book of Jude, spoke how God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, but let them all die in the wilderness because they did not want to be kept by God. And this willy-nilly picking verses out of the Bible to support a theology of a denomination or a pastor's, pet subjects is to me very dangerous, because when we read the entirety of God's word, you don't come up with this. Again, if what else is the book of Jude about? Read the book of Jude. Yes, he's able to keep us from falling. Do you want to be kept? That's the context of that chapter and of that verse. Then you find Jesus telling the churches in Revelations 2 and 3 to repent, all but two. And there you find Jesus even saying, I'll blot your name out of the book of life. Well, what does that mean? Well, you had to be saved to get it in the book of life. And then fortifies it even more in Revelation chapter 22, where Jesus said, if you take away the words from this book, I'll take your name away from the book of life. Well, then you have people who try to modify God's word. Well, everybody's in the book of life. Oh, really? So then the biblical teaching of original sin, that we inherit our old sin nature from Adam, is bogus. Because everybody's name is in the book of life, and we sin, and that's what gets it taken out somewhere when we're 1, 2, 3 years old, something like that. That is not what the Bible teaches. We're born in sin. We sin because we're sinners. And so the idea that everybody's name is in the book of life is false. Very clearly. That's why the Bible talks about this so explicitly. Now, do I believe that, oops, I'm nailing a picture on the wall and I hit my thumb with a hammer and I cuss and the rapture comes and I won't go? No, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about a lifestyle. Now, to fortify it even more, Paul, writing to a church, not to a bar, not to a brothel, not to some house of ill repute, to the church, he said, do not be deceived. People with these lifestyles will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And then some guy stands up willy-nilly in a nice suit saying, oh no, the Bible doesn't mean what it says. Let me straighten you out. Well, you know what? I don't want to be in your shoes on judgment day, because in effect, you're saying what God's word is saying is not true. Listen to me instead. Well, what about the verses that it talks about in John 10? No one will pluck you out of my hand. I couldn't agree more. I don't believe there's any external force that will ever remove you from the love of God. Ever. Just ain't going to happen. But I believe you can leave yourself as fortified in 2 Timothy chapter 4. There Paul writes about Demas. Now, Demas was adored in the first book of Timothy, how he was a help to the ministry, all these different things. But when we get to 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul writes, Demas, having loved this present world, has departed. Not from him, from Christ. That's the context of what's being written there. Oh, well, that's all right. He's just going to lose his reward. He's still going to heaven. Well, I would appreciate somebody giving me chapter and verse on that. You see, they want to disregard all the verses, the books of the Bible, as an example, that say something other than this idea. I heard a minister one time says, well, I didn't do anything to get salvation, and I can't do anything to lose salvation. Well, then the man isn't born again, everybody, because the Bible says you must believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. They came to Jesus, and they said, what works must we do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, this is the work you must do. He didn't say, oh, there's no works. It's just not there. No, he didn't say that. He said, believe that the Father has sent me. Now, here is where we get into trouble. Because let me just share it with you simply like this. If I'm right, there's a lot of people in a lot of trouble. If they think they're going to heaven because they walked an aisle at a Billy Graham crusade, well, they weren't really saved in the first place. Hold it. How did they get their name in the book of life, Revelation chapter 3, Revelation chapter 22? See, they want to select verses that support a theology based upon a denominational idea rather than the fullness of what God says. And where they come up with this stuff, I don't know. Because what are you going to do then with the last eight verses of Matthew chapter 24 about the wicked servant? Says in his heart, my Lord delays his coming. And then it says, the Lord of that servant. It shows a two-way relationship. Very important. Hey, coming back, Brad, you're an attorney. I want your input on this when we come back. We're coming up on a break, but I believe it's a very important thing. Calvary Chapel, I know a lot of Calvaries don't where they're at, but I know Chuck Smith did not believe in once saved, always saved, period. I've got a radio show with him that proves it. And
look around you, your family, your faith. They're not in the way. They are the way.
From the creators of Jesus Revolution comes the incredible true story.
It's going to be dangerous and scary and giving up. It's not an option.
The story of one family's journey from down under to center stage. Unsung Hero, a For King and Country film starring Candace Cameron Bure and Terry O'Quinn in theaters April 26th. Visit unsunghero.movie to learn more. Rated PG. Parental guidance. Biden suggested.
If you're 65 or older, you know this. Seeing your healthcare costs go up and up is frustrating. And maybe you were just notified that your Medicare costs are increasing again, or you're just tired of the massive deductibles. Well, here's some good news. There's a program that can really help with this. It's MediShare 65 Plus. It's an affordable, reliable alternative. You can choose any Medicare provider. You get telehealth access anytime you need it. And MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. MediShare is a Christian healthcare community that aligns with your faith. People actually pray for you. They encourage you. And it's proven, too. It's been going strong for over 30 years now. So call now. You can get one low monthly price for up to 10 years. You're not stuck with increasing costs. You can do something about this today. Call MediShare 65 Plus. Find out how much you can save. Call 833-90-SHARE. That's 833-90-SHARE. 833-90-SHARE.
In these days of financial instability, we as Christians need to pull together to make sure the gospel of Jesus Christ is spread throughout the world. Here at CSN, we are a listener-supported ministry and need your help. If you have been blessed by what you hear on the radio, please send us a tax-deductible donation to Post Office Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, zip code 83303. Again, that is P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. Or go online to csnradio.com. Help us as we continue to spread the gospel.
Back to part two of Terry Mann Answer here on this Friday afternoon with Brad Dacus from Pacific Justice Institute. I'm your host, Mike Kessel. We went to the break. We were speaking with Lindsay, and again, about the idea. I don't believe you lose your salvation. Please, everyone, please understand what I'm saying. If I lose my car keys, I don't have a clue where they are, and I've spent a whole weekend looking for them before. But if I leave my car keys on the table, I know where they are. I just choose not to pick them up. Interesting. This is what Paul said concerning Demas in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. Demas, having loved this present world, has departed. He's left. Now, again, I don't believe it's a sin by sin day to day thing. I believe what we're talking about here, when we go to the book of 1 Corinthians, we find it outlined there, the book of Galatians, other places. We find that these are lifestyles. This is lifestyles. Now, does God forgive sin? Yes. Does God forgive lifestyles? Yes. But there has to be a willingness to do that. Jesus said, watch and be ready. You don't know what hour your Lord's going to come. Now, if there's a compelling from Christ himself to watch and be ready, and then ministers are saying, oh no, do whatever you want to do. You're safe and secure. Something's not right here. It ain't lining up. Now, again, we have this picture of the of virgins that you were talking about, the five wise, five foolish. And again, it says, verse 7, all the women, the five wise, got up, trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. Oil in the Bible, based upon scriptural consistency, is a picture type of the Holy Spirit. Now, what's amazing here is the bridegroom came. Now, when the Bible says, he says, afterwards, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us, after the door had been closed. And he said to them, I do not know you. Now, again, I don't know all that this entails, but it doesn't look good for a person that's riding on the fence. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's important to go back to the word, and I like your point, Pastor Mike, where you point out about the lifestyles. The bottom line is, when we become a Christian, it's not a contract. It's a relationship. And I like that distinction. It's so important. I was in a taxi recently, or Uber, and the driver was Muslim, and there his mindset was all one about, he says, well, if people become Christians, then they can do whatever they want. I said, well, no, his mindset is a rule book. I got to do enough good works to balance the bad works. And I said, no, Christianity is a relationship with God. And if you have a real relationship with him and you really believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, then you're going to have the Holy Spirit within you. It's going to convict you. You're going to want to please him. It's like a marriage. You don't go into a marriage thinking, well, you know, gosh, what's the absolute minimum number of days I have to spend with this lady in order to keep my marriage, valid? And no, no one goes into a marriage with that perspective. It's all about a relationship and wanting to grow in that relationship. And so anyway, first John chapter 2, I think is interesting. So in first chapter 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the word is not in us. But then it goes on in chapter 2 and says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is a propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. And then verse 3 says, now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And then it even goes on in verse 4 to say, he who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. So the lifestyle change, yes, we're sinners. I'm a sinner. I say people think I've got my act together. So you talk to my wife, she'll tell you my halo is still crooked. God's still working on me. But at the same time, it's very evident still the work of God in my life, not just the grace and the mercy, but also his empowerment and the sanctification. And that's what we're talking about as evidence of salvation. James talks about it as well. Works doesn't save us, but it's evidence that there's some transformation taking place in our lives. Also, the other point I like to make is dealing with God's awesome grace and forbearance and patience. You know, here I've heard testimonies where individuals have turned from God in hideous ways. For you know, one guy, 18 years in the homosexual lifestyle, just was in ministry, turns away, and then he's finally convicted on his knees. He repents, he comes back, and he's back into ministry. I think that's also a demonstration of how long suffering and forbearing and how patient God is, so that none would perish, but all would come to repentance. And anyway, so that's another observation about for us not to give up on anyone, because God has demonstrated his awesome power to lead people to repentance, even after a period of time.
Yeah, and though at times our faith does fail, friends, it just does, God's faithfulness to us does not fail. And I believe God will do everything he can do to nurture us back to his side again. The Bible says a smoking flax he will not quench, a bruised reed he will not break. You say, well, what does that mean? If there's any fire at all left in your heart for God, God will blow on that fire to turn it back into a flame again. If you've got a bruised reed, like on a plant, he doesn't snip it off. He says a bruised reed he won't break. What does he do? He'll put a splint on it and get it to grow straight again. That's God's heart towards us. And so what we're talking here about for everybody is lifestyles contrary to the Spirit of God. Now listen, some people teach it doesn't make any difference. Well, Jesus said it does. Watch and be ready. You don't know what hour your Lord's going to come. He said, behold, I come as a thief. If it doesn't make any difference, then why did Jesus say it? Was he just shucking and jiving the church? Furthermore, if this is the case, you can do whatever you want, then why do we even have any of the epistles in the New Testament all compelling us to have a life worthy of Christ? In other words, hey, baby, you're in. Don't worry about it. Party on, dude. No, not at all. And this is like, well, they weren't saved in the first place, I hear. Again, how did they get their name in the book of life in Revelation chapter 3, Revelation chapter 22, if they weren't in there to begin with? So I take this serious. Again, you got to look at all the verses. And this is what I talked about when we first came on the air. This hodgepodge going through the Bible, popcorn theology. Oh, there's a verse pops out at me. I'll use that one. Oh, there's one pops out at me. And I'll build a theology disregarding any of the verses that corrects wacky stuff. And there's a lot of wacky stuff out there. They disregard that. And then they make up stuff. Well, you make it to heaven, but you lose your reward. And they use verses out of context where the Bible says the wood, the hay, the stubble gets burned up, but the things that were done with the right nature remain. That's talking about a believer in Christ. And as a believer in Christ, we all know we've done things that we know that we didn't do with the right motive. You know, you might have sang in the choir because it was a really cute girl there you were trying to get to know. Well, that doesn't mean that you're not a Christian. That doesn't mean that God won't reward you for the other things you've done. But that was the wrong motive. We're not talking about that. That is out of context when somebody tries to use it saying, oh, well, that person, when they stand before God, the wood, the hay, the stubble is going to burn up. They're going to lose the rewards, but they'll still make it into heaven. Not the Bible that I read. Again, explain the entirety of the book of Jude. Explain where Jesus even had a right to correct the churches in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, since it really doesn't matter. See, these guys, they just get on these high horses and they refuse to look at the, do I believe in the security of the believer? Absolutely. Yes. The Bible, Jesus said, if you abide in me. Oh, we leave that out, don't we? If you abide in me, I in you. See, this is what the Bible talks about. This abiding. Oh, I love the idea of fire insurance, but man, don't expect my life to change. That's dangerous stuff. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Lindsay, I hope that helps.
Well, you know, it's just, it's going to be a sad, sad day when the rapture happens and people just aren't ready. And my heart just is so sad for those who aren't ready to shift and change and live for the Lord, and they won't go, you know?
Yeah, I know. Well, again, read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, everyone. What will not inherit the kingdom of God? Remember, Paul is writing to believers. Context is everything. And then he says, do not be deceived. Evidently, there were people that had come into the Corinthian church saying, hey, even though you're a Christian, you can still live these kind of lifestyles. It's okay. Once saved, always saved. I don't know what they were saying. Whatever it was, Paul saying, you are being deceived. Don't be deceived. And so people leave that out. You see, if I, as a pastor, just teach on topics that I like, you know, you'll never know what God and how God's going to judge the world someday. I just want to talk about tithing and love one another and be excellent to each other and how to climb to the top after you slip Jesus in your pocket. How to keep that smile on your face. That's right. How to use Shiny Bright on your halo to keep the crowd impressed on how spiritual you really are. Friends, dangerous, dangerous stuff. Yeah. Because the Bible says they'll heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears in the last days because they want to hear what they want to hear. You know, the Bible says, no longer my will, but thine be done. Thy kingdom come. Jesus said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lindsay, send you out some books, some DVDs, okay, dear?
Thanks. You guys have a good day.
God bless you. And again, keep going. Let's go to Mark, Shulton, Washington. Hi, welcome.
Hello. My pastor, in my last confession to my pastor 2 days before he died, he said, because I was growing in faith and I was, you know, things were going really well for me despite some losses in my life with my father passing and so forth. And then he was taken from me 2 days after that confession. But in that confession, he said really specifically, the closer you get to God, the more you're a tasty target for the devil.
Yep,
and,
I believe that.
And I thought to myself, here's a guy who was a Catholic, but he wanted to do Latin masses, and, you know, he was doing a lot of stuff in the church, and he had some problems with the church itself, and then they took him from us. And, you know, it's like when we do confession, the sacrament of the sacrament of communion. He would have us all sing, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And we kept doing that. And the new pastor, he doesn't do that stuff. And he's all about doctrine and so forth. And it's kind of like a hole in my, is there evidence of that in the Bible that the closer you get to God? Because it feels like every time I get closer, it's like, you know, more challenges get put my way. And it's kind of like, you know, I don't want to feel like the devil's out to get me because that's his job. You know, I understand everybody's got their job. But, I want to know if there's any support for me in this situation because, you know.
Well, Peter. Yeah, Peter says our enemy, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. I mean, when you really look at that. You realize that the devil doesn't waste time on people that are no threat to the kingdom of darkness. And something you have to remember, and Mark, it sounds like you've been going to a Catholic church where very possibly your priest there was really born again. I have ran into priests that I believe are really born again with the Lord, and I find others that are just steeped in their religious dogma. I don't even know if they know Christ. I'm not the judge. I don't want to be the judge, but I'm just saying by what they say shows a personal relationship with God or not. and your thoughts.
The issue of someone, you know, coming to Christ, I just have to say that you can be a Catholic and be a Christian. The key is whether or not you have a real personal relationship with Jesus Christ and whether or not you put your trust in him for your salvation and not that for of something else. Also, I just want to make a point also that's sort of on my heart from the last caller too, and that is there may be someone listening to this broadcast right now, and you know that you have turned away from the Lord and you're not living a life of the Lord. You've rebelled against God and you're hearing this and you're feeling just real convicted. You know, you know you need the Lord. And I just want to encourage you right now to remember God takes you right where you are. The blood of Christ and what he did on the cross is all forgiving and all powerful. We just need to humble ourselves and repent. And that means to turn back to him and with a heart of humility and say, God, I want to live for you. Forgive me for what I've done. I want to go back. I want to follow you. And if you do that, then you can be assured that he's heard your prayer and that he's there and ready. His arms are always open wide. No matter how far you may have wandered, no matter how much you're rebelling against him, his arms are open wide for you right now. And I just want to encourage you out there, if you're there, just pray this prayer with me right where you are. Just pray. I just say, God, I'm a sinner. Maybe I've backslid. Maybe I used to believe. And I right now want to come back to you. I want to follow you and give me that your Holy Spirit and the strength to come back to you and to follow you and to live for you here on. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And again, Mark, our salvation is not through a church. It isn't through confession. The Bible says there's only one mediator between God and man, and that's Christ Jesus, not a priest, pope, pastor, Sunday school teacher, anybody else. And again, you can go to the Lord. The Bible says if we'll confess our sins to him, he's faithful, just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we can settle into that knowing that God will forgive us because we've asked him to forgive us. I hope that helps.
Yeah, the only question was, I don't understand what purpose it serves with such a good man being taken from me and taken from the parish. And, I don't know how that serves God's purpose because he was definitely serving God's purpose. And there was a core of believers in the church as a result of this guy. And it's been, church has changed since then. So I'm looking for a new church now.
Yeah. Well, Mark, I realize that for all of us, we have the questions, why did my uncle die? Why did my aunt die? Why did my child die? I think we all have that. We're not going to have the answers probably this side of heaven. I think when we get there, we will. And you never know what God's overall plan is. We only look from day to day, but God looks at something from a long ways off sometimes to see the ultimate outcome. So my job as a believer is not to question God, but to say, okay, God, so maybe Mark, God would raise you up to reach out to people. You see, oftentimes we always look, God, why did you do this? Not realizing that God oftentimes thrusts us in to fill the gap. So again, Mark, may the Lord just give you wisdom. Stay in line. I'll send you out some books and some DVDs. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
God bless you, Mark. Thanks so much for the call. Have a blessed weekend. Let's go to Jimmy, Fort Worth. Hi, welcome.
Hey, gang. Yes. I had a question for Brad. I've been watching how the law enforcement has to deal with mobs and crowds and protesters, and I always wondered, is there a reason other than maybe cost that they don't like every cop doesn't have like a mean dog for a sidekick, wherever they go. So when they want to control the crowds, they could just let the dogs loose and scare the daylights out of them. Is there some reason they don't do that? Is some legal reason they don't do that? I mean, a dog bit them, would they be able to sue the city because one of the police dogs bit them?
Yeah, that's a good question. And, you know, the answer is in light of the idea of cruel and unusual punishment. So law enforcement is allowed to use that level of punishment or force that's necessary to apprehend a suspect, to defend themselves against a criminal or criminal activity, to allow the dog just to go loose and bite and do whatever. Courts would probably not look at that in the best of light. Now, if you're in a situation though where you've got a violent mob and there's a desperate need to maintain control, then there's probably there's a higher degree of force that is allowed to be able to do that. You'll have like these rubber bullets that police officers will use. Now they don't just shoot out regular bullets. Why? Because that's going to kill people. And these are mobsters, people in a mob, and that doesn't necessarily mean that they deserve the death penalty, but they will often sometimes use rubber bullets. It's sort of an escalated level. That's what law enforcement does. But I will say this, what we've seen in San Francisco and New York City, what we've seen in some of these cities, Chicago, et cetera, where you'll have a mob of people, especially, pro Hamas, pro PLO, pro terrorist, basically. And they're just openly blocking traffic and things like that. There's no reason that should happen. Police have a duty and obligation to maintain order, and they should be arresting those individuals and prosecuting them swiftly and promptly, not allowing traffic to be stalled with people who may be in a desperate need to get to the hospital or have an emergency situation. I think that the voters this November are going to take that into consideration. I think that a lot of American people are very frustrated. Unfortunately, what I can see happening is this summer could end up being another 2020, and it could be very nasty because the message that the criminals continue to receive from these big cities run by dark blue politicians is that it's okay to be a criminal. Nothing's going to happen. And until that's shifted, until that's changed, it's an open door for chaos.
Yeah. All it takes for wickedness to succeed is for righteous to do nothing. And the righteous have done nothing for so long, it's now normal. So it's a troubling thing. Jimmy, hope that helps.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Jimmy, stay online. If you like staying out books, DVDs, let's go to Colleen, Las Vegas. Hi, welcome.
Oh, hi, pastors. Listen, I want to ask a question. You don't have to get deep because I kind of like, I'm doing it for my granddaughter and we kind of know. But if somebody would like, she was saying the other day, like say you were in a movie theater and everybody says all the Christians stand up because they're going to kill you. You don't stand up. That's not a problem. But if someone would actually walk up to you and say, so do you believe in God? And you said no at that time, but you've lived your whole life for him, but you're scared to die. Would you be not denying him at that point and go to hell?
Your thoughts, Brad?
Yeah, it's interesting because we know I think it's in 2 Timothy, where in chapter 2 it says, for if we died with him, verse 11, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. So there's rewards. If we deny him, he shall also deny us. But then also it says, if we're faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. When I see that scripture, many people say, well, okay, so you denied him, so therefore you're going to hell. I think that fits more into verse 13, where it talks about being faithless, where we get weak-kneed, like Peter denied Jesus three times. I don't believe that is what we're talking about with when we see deny him. I believe that is where we turn from him and we deny his grace. We deny his forgiveness. We do not put our faith in him. And we deny him to be our Lord and our Savior in our hearts and turn from him. I believe that's the context of deny because we see the grace that God showed Peter, who denied him three times. And that's the kind of grace and forbearance I think that God gives even to those who in those situations may make the fortunate decision to deny their relationship with the Lord. I believe God's grace can be sufficient to cover that.
Amen. Amen. Well said. And again, good book for calling for your family to read. Fox's Book of Martyrs. Very, very good. How people died because of their relationship with Christ. We're all out of time. Denise, Tom, Kim, please call us back. We'll put you on first thing on Monday. Thank you, Brad, for being on. Have a blessed, safe weekend.
We're right. Thanks. To every man an answer. P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.